welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Monday, December 28th, 2015, our last week of this year. As we said at the beginning of the show, we're going to be broadcasting live Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Thursday and Friday, we will be off. We'll be dark. You will see rebroadcasts here on Global Star Radio Network, and we'll put those archives up. But we're going to take four days off here for the end of the year and the weekend coming into the next year. So we're trying to get some housekeeping things done as far as the site and research and trying to come in strong the year 2016. Closing in this first hour and into hour number two, we were talking about the weather, and I don't know, we got to get Daily Crow on, Matt from Daily Crow. I read this headline yesterday, and it's here in from the Dallas Morning News, and the numbers here are what caught my eye. Total devastation. 9 tornadoes confirmed. Storm leaves 11 dead. And this was a day ago in the Dallas Morning News. 9 tornadoes leaves 11 dead. Those numbers just jumped right out at me. I don't know how many saw this, I don't know if this is what we're seeing now hit the Northeast, but the winter storm they had named Goliath last week in the National Weather Service. And there was an interesting headline over the weekend on Drudge. I gotta find my notes to see exactly what it says, but it was cloning giant promises. We won't make Frankensteins. And I had a big problem with that headline.
Well, cloning giant promises.
We won't make Frankenstein. Cloning giant promises. We won't make Frankenstein. It all depends on where you put clone. The parentheses.
Quotations. That's one thing. If you start looking, Joe, at the numbers, you see some interesting numbers. And I go back to the Daily Mail, and I do believe that the powers behind the faces of the politicians do send messages. They do, amongst themselves. And you might think that this is so far out there that we're reading tea leaves. And to some extent we are. Okay, but I do think certain, like you said, like you cited, those are interesting numbers.
And that was on the headline of Drudge yesterday, if I remember. This is the first. I went to the store, and I, especially this weekend, this holiday weekend, I tried to keep my computer off and stay away from it, spend time with family and enjoy the time down we had.
I tried too, but people kept dragging me into the office. And I spent more time in the office than with my family this weekend.
Yeah, that's rough. But coming back from the store, I was hearing a press conference, and the way they were talking, I didn't know if a terrorist attack happened or if it was weather. I was assuming it was weather due to the threats that was already out there and the coverage it was gotten the day before. So when I got home, I opened the computer, and that's what I opened it up to. And that's the first thing that I thought about, whether subliminally or it was something conscious that just jumped out at me. But, I mean, those are not hard numbers to connect, 9/11.
Right.
But on Saturday, the day before this, we won't make Frankensteins, cloning giant, Boyle Life CEO says. Cloning giant, okay. That's a different context than that headline. But they're using this word giant. They're throwing that in there. If any, all the words, other words in that headline are there for a reason. This is a cloning company.
Right.
He said, we won't make Frankensteins, a Dr. Zhu of Ziachon, its chief executive said. The technology we have is very advanced, but technology can also do damage. Everything technological has a boundary. And this is about cloning plants and animals. But to look at that, the cloning giant, and we had Steve on Friday, and we were talking about the Nazis, and he talked about Gilgamesh and the raiding of the U.S. Army's raiding in Iraq of the Tomb of Gilgamesh for DNA in 2003.
Correct. And I've got my notes in my office. I can get them, but you're exactly right.
So the putting the word giant in there is completely out of context for it when you look at everything else.
Well, it's descriptive of the company, cloning giant, meaning...
Right, it's a giant cloning company. But
however, when you consider how many companies are there, okay?
Right.
It's an adjective that's really unnecessary.
Unless they were cloning a giant, promising we won't make Frankenstein. or they're sending a message to each other saying, you know,
well, yeah,
this is underway. It could be completely wrong, but it's just something I wanted to mention.
Look,
because I thought it was important.
I agree. I had mentioned Facebook. I want to get back to this real quick, then pop it back to you. Folks, there's something really wrong when we talk about Facebook. How do you feel about this, ladies and gentlemen? You've got the G8 summit taking place. Oh, the Obama cartel. They funnel billions and billions of dollars into Facebook. Mm-hmm. You have the G8, where all the most important of the politicians, the world leaders, get together at a summit. They get face to face, and there's one civilian invited and attends. And you know who that is? Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook. Now, that should make you go, why? Why? And he's, you know, there's something wrong here. And I think when you start looking at the social engineering in addition to social engineering, I think that we're being pushed to a certain level of ultimate genocide. That's just my view. But, obviously Facebook is being utilized by all the nations as a spyware program on all of us. And you know what? It's like walking into a concentration camp, you know, and sewing your own uniforms willingly, or dupes. Anyway, I just want to make sure I got that out there. But you know, going back to what you were saying, and I know we're jumping around because of me, and I apologize, but the numbers, remember the numbers in the headlines, because of all the things, Daily Mail ran, 19.5 million fake Twitter followers for Obama. And the numbers are being massaged. And I'm trying to think. Even reports, like the ARB report on Benghazi. I really think that when a report, for example, and I'll use that as an example, when a report has the equivalent of a Catholic imprimatur. I don't know how many folks, you know what that is. If there's a book that's approved by the Roman Catholic Church, there's an imprimatur on the front, which means that, hey, it's cool. It's okay with us, man. In fact, you know, we recommend this book. Approve, recommend, whatever. So I think the Illuminati or those in power, whatever you choose to call them, the actual people with power, I think they send messages, like the ARB report about Benghazi. It was 33 pages long, if I remember correctly. I might be quoting the wrong report, but and if you look at the material on the halfway down on the 19th page, was kind of an interesting, odd paragraph, but it was important in the crux of the lie, shall we say, of that was the narrative that was being pushed at the time. So in my view, yes, we should be paying attention to these numerical values, although we don't care about them as Christians. I mean, we don't care about occult numerology, but we should be aware of them, especially if we want to be informed. And that's what you're saying with the numbers. And the numbers as well can be used and are used by God. They're a creation by God, so they could send us messages as well. So.
Yeah, and this is an article that I mentioned on the other side that I wanted to kind of open up with also. The State Department is counting bringing peace to Syria as one of its wins in 2015. A boastful recap of the State Department's accomplishment, written by John Kirby, includes the bold subheadline of Bringing Peace and Security to Syria, above a more modest entry talking about the U.S. aid for those affected by the country's turmoil and the U.S. push for political transition from Bashar al-Assad. While Secretary of State John Kerry has played an integral role in the Syrian peace talks, the country remains embroiled in a nasty civil war terrorized by the Islamic State. The United States and many members of the international community have stepped up to aid the Syrian people during their time of need. The United States has led the world in humanitarian aid contribution since the crisis began in 2011. But Kirby wrote that the Syrians have bore a heavy load, but under Kerry's stewardship, the United Nations passed a U.S.-sponsored resolution to create a roadmap for Syria going forward. The apparent declaration of a win echoes comments from President Barack Obama, who has been heavily criticized for calling the Islamic State a JV team, back in January 2014 article. Kirby also touched on the Islamic State, also called ISIL, saying that the U.S. is winning the fight against violent extremists.
Right.
And Kirby cited the White House summit on countering violent extremism hosted in February, which he called monumental. Now, other things the State Department is counting as a win: reestablishing ties with Cuba, protecting the Arctic, clinching the Iranian nuclear agreement, stopping the Ebola outbreak. Now, this one's important. Committing to the UN development goals.
Right.
Securing a free trade deal, preserving ocean health, and reaching the climate agreement.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd call any of those a win. I don't know if they stopped the Ebola outbreak or started it. The trade deal, the reaching the climate agreement, and securing the UN, or committing to UN development goals. The UN development goals are continuation of Agenda 21 into the, what's it now, the Agenda 2030. It's sustainable development.
That's the end result, or right. That's the goal, and that's the subjugation of all free people in the West, including America. Pack them and stack them into cities. Take away their modes of transportation under the auspices of climate change or climate control, and saving the earth, and of course, dwindling down the population accordingly. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like a thumbnail sketch of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and saying they stop the Ebola outbreak is saying they are preserving ocean health.
What about Fukushima?
Right, know? Exactly. People out there have said, 99% of the ocean, Pacific Ocean, is dead. There have been scores of dead fish and other plant life in the Pacific that has washed ashore. Fukushima is still not contained, and we still see major problems. As I read last week, I was reading and looking at pictures newly released from Fukushima, from drones and such, years later, that still showed the areas around the plant and the devastation from the tsunami and hurricane that hasn't even been touched. I mean, they won't even go. The robots don't even live after being unleashed in Fukushima.
Function, not live.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, I don't know what I'd say it is, but to say that they've brought about peace and stability in Syria, and cite that as a win for the State Department in 2015.
Mm, it's ridiculous.
That is insanity. Yeah.
You had mentioned Syria. I just wanted that. I was looking over some notes here, and I think this is important for everyone to really understand. Getting back to Syria, because I believe Ukraine, yes, is important.
Yeah.
The South China Sea is important. I understand all that. But as I said, I still continue to believe and submit to you, the listeners and the viewers, that Syria, that World War III will start in Syria, and Syria has exploded as we had often said it would, and the at issue here is the New World Order takeover of Syria by the agents of the New World Order. And I just want to go back to a lot of times people don't remember. And I have to be reminded of things. Okay. ISIS really is an agent of the New World Order. Some people might say, oh, you're wrong. They are accomplices. ISIS is an accomplice. New World Order agents, CIA operatives, Western intelligence, Mossad, military intelligence, and intelligence from the UK, France, and other European countries, including Saudi Arabia. They're all players in this Saudi war. This some call it a civil war. This is an orchestrated civil war. But what people know the refugee crisis to be, well, this is a plan really by the New World Order, by the power behind the politics. And if you go back to the Daily Mail back in February, actually a year ago, February now, or let's see, it was, I believe it was, I think it was February 2015. My apologies. ISIS has threatened to flood Europe with 500,000 migrants from Libya in a psychological attack against the West. Okay. So I'm bringing this up because if you compare it to what Joe said, and compare it to what was in the Daily Mail back in February, you can see where this is kind of coming out, kind of connecting.
And if you add in that deportations under Obama have dropped vastly under a second term, and deportations of illegal immigrants dropped to near zero.
Yes, yes. And there is a fight within the government, and that I was told. There's a fight going on. But anyway, back to this. There were transcripts of telephone intercepts that were published in Italy, not in the Western media, but in Italy, that provide evidence that ISIS is threatening to send 500,000 migrants simultaneously out to sea in hundreds of boats in a psychological weapon against Europe if there is military intervention against them in Libya. So we're seeing this Trojan horse of refugees, actually ISIS agents, as pawns on the world stage here. Many, of course, now this is from the Daily Mail, many would be at risk of drowning with rescue services unable to cope, but authorities fear that if numbers on the scale arrive, European cities could witness riots. Now, that was, okay, that they were, now Daily Mail claimed that Italy had telephone intercepts, and this was published, let's see here, Daily Mail, February 18th, 2015. And this also appeared in the New Zealand Herald, February 19th, 2015. So, folks, we're seeing not a crisis because of a civil war. We're seeing a crisis or a problem that was created as a psychological attack against the West, and also a Trojan horse thing. So, for what Joe was talking about these wins, well, perhaps it was a win for the New World Order, or this new order being constructed by the power players. Now, if you go back to May, real quick, and then I'm gonna shut up about Syria. But if you go back to May, let me get the date on this I had this May 17th. Okay. May 17th, and let me find out when this was, or where this was. ISIS fighters posing as refugees are being smuggled to Europe on migrant boats. This according to The Independent. Again, you're not going to find this in the Western media, or at least in the North American media. Let me just read this real quick, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Joe. ISIS, and I'm quoting, the words are not mine. This is from, what did I say, Daily Mail? Or male. ISIS militants are posing as refugees and being smuggled into Europe across the Mediterranean. Islamic State fighters are taking advantage of the current migrant crisis in the Mediterranean by joining overfilled boats leaving Northern Africa for Europe. Militants were profiting from the dangerous journey across the sea by demanding half of the people's smugglers' incomes in exchange for allowing them to keep operating and to take fighters with them. So, what that means, well, it's an operation, not a flight. It's an operation. In an interview broadcast on Sunday, again, let's go back to May now, a certain government advisor by the name of Haroon said that the boats were used, and I quote, for their people who they want to send to Europe, as the European police don't know who is from ISIS and who is just a regular refugee. The boat owners have a list of who to take, but some people come suddenly and they're told, take them with you. They sit down separately And in the boat, they're not scared at all. They are ISIS 100%. And again, I'm quoting from this government advisor. They are ISIS 100%. They are planning for the future, not today and not tomorrow. What we're seeing here is that Assad is not irrational. You know, Hitler during the Second World War was painted out as being kind of crazy, irrational, Parkinson's disease, syphilitic condition. And of course, his body was never found. Parallels to Osama bin Laden. Now they're looking at Assad the same way. But we find that Assad is not an irrational person. And, the media would like us to think that. He's not, he did conduct an interview. When I say recently, I'm talking within the past several months, with Russia Today, and declared that he is still willing to talk with the opposition, with the West. But no one wanted to talk with him. They wanted him gone.
Charlie Rose did an interview with him not too long ago, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week a little bit.
Yeah, we did. And you pointed that out. I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole here, except to say, look, Saudi Arabia, they offer to build 200 mosques in Germany. Saudi Arabia would build one mosque for every 100 refugees who enter Germany in extraordinary numbers.
That's concerning.
Well, of course not. People interested in citations, let me tell you where that came from. That came from The Independent, September 11th, 2015. Go figure. The Independent. Okay. Let me just continue a little bit more, and then I'm going to turn it back to you. Look how Israel responded. Netanyahu said, look, Israel is way too small for any refugees. Israel approves $46 million plan to absorb Jewish immigrants last February in an Israel newspaper. So, you know, Netanyahu is not helping the situation. Look, I understand Israel, but let's use the same standard of inspection with everyone. Angela Merkel, by the way, when I was talking to Steve Quayle today, Joe, and I didn't tell you this before the show, but he was saying that there's proof that she was ahead of the Stasi, or that she was close to the head of the Stasi, or had a position with the Stasi, the German secret police. Merkel, you know, some people say that she's in this dogmatic slumber, if you will. No. She has blood on her hands, and it's deliberate. So Merkel is really behind the European end of this in terms of acting as the agent of the new power structure, meaning the new world order. Go ahead. Did that make sense? I don't know if that made sense, but bottom line, it's a mess.
Huh? No. I want to cover some interesting technology news that I saw. This is on Fox Tech that should excite and worry you in 2016. Whoever this columnist is, they write an annual article in a local or in a paper about the tech predictions for the next year. But this year they said they're changing things up. And two of the concerns they write in this article I want to cover here, because there's some information in the first one that we haven't seen. And the first one is hackers targeting sensitive infrastructure. And this is a worry for 2016 in the field of technology. For years, I've been predicting that hackers will go after our power grid and other parts of U.S. energy, banking, and communications infrastructure, they write. news last week that hackers in Iran stole plans from multiple U.S. power plants underscores this threat. Now, how many people heard about hackers in Iran stealing U.S. power plant information? I haven't heard much about that.
No.
If you've ever had the power go out for any length of time, you know how serious something like this is to businesses and homes. With hackers stealing personal identities and going after banks and even trying to take down the internet, the need for increased security measures to protect these institutions has never been higher. A major IT director told me recently as much as 20% of his IT budget is now allocated for security of his company from outside attacks. The U.S. government, local utilities, banks, and communication companies need to do the same. This threat will only get worse, and these folks need to up their game in this area. Now, they mentioned four sectors here. The U.S. power plants, or the banking industry.
Right.
The communication companies and the government. So you have the U.S. government, local utilities, banks, and communication companies.
Correct.
Was it last week we were watching, I think his name was Ken Peters, on, it was an old prophecy he had about a dream about the coming of the Antichrist from 1980, and I believe it aired in 1996 or maybe 2002.
All right.
But he talked about the, you know, the power and the TV going off, and when it came back on, there was a new leadership, and they were talking about this new world order and how this new Antichrist was on the scene. Many of you might remember that. I think it was from Prophecy Club. And this encompasses all that they would need to do something like that. The utilities, the government utilities, banks, and communication companies.
Right.
They'd be shutting off power, our monetary system, our resources.
Right.
And they could bring it back on.
Well, you're referring to
Ken Peters.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
And folks might not be familiar with that. Go look that up. If you have time, watch the video of his testimony.
Well, you know, Drudge over the weekend had, let me just see here, if I can, over the weekend had a story. Folks, you probably caught this about Sweden going cashless.
I got that up here. Yeah.
Okay.
In Sweden. It's actually Sweden and Norway and a lot of Europe. Sweden in a cash-free future nears.
Right. We don't want to... Boy, talking about stuttering, right? The last thing we want to see, folks, is a cashless society. And people will say, well, that'll be the end of drug dealers. No, it won't. No, they're just going to barter in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they'll deal in probably in stolen property. So... go ahead if you have that link there, because this is where we're headed, and we better doggone well pay attention to this.
Parishioners text ties to their churches. Homeless street vendors carry mobile credit card readers.
How's that work?
I don't know. I thought of that when I read this the first time. Even the ABBA Museum, despite being a shrine to the 1970s pop group that wrote Money, 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 considers the cash... so last century that it does not accept bills and coins.
Yeah.
A few places are tilting toward a cashless future as Sweden, which has become hooked on the convenience of paying by app and plastic.
Mm-hmm.
This tech-forward country, home to the music streaming service Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify.
And the maker of Candy Crush mobile games. Candy Crush Mobile Games has been lured by the innovations that make digital payments easier. It is also a practical matter, as many of the country's banks no longer accept or dispense cash. The ABBA Museum, we don't want to be behind the times by taking cash while cash is dying out, they say. Former band member leveraged the band's legacy into a sprawling business empire, including the museum. Not everyone is cheering. Sweden's embrace of electronic payment has alarmed consumer organizations and critics, who warn that the rising threat to privacy and increased vulnerability to sophisticated internet crimes. Last year, the number of electronic fraud cases surged to 140,000 more than double the amount of a decade ago, according to Sweden's Ministry of Justice. it goes on from there.
Well, you know, and this is something that really we need to understand. The push is for a cashless society, everything digital. In fact, I received a thank you for the email.
And this is part of the second worry that I want to get in the Fox article.
Well, go ahead.
The Internet of Things will remain confusing. Yeah. A lot of people don't know what the Internet of Things is.
Yeah, what is the Internet of Things?
What I believe it is and what the definition is are probably two separate things. But the Internet of Things is the chip.
That's what you believe it
in
is.
In the end game,
right. Yes. All right. And I'm with you on that.
I'm really concerned that the industry as a whole has no real plan to harmonize the Internet of Things in a way that makes it work for the consumer audiences. Today, most Internet of Things companies and products act like an island unto themselves and treat their products as standalone models that only have value by themselves. While this may be true in some cases, we need to talk and work with each other. The Internet of Things today is just too confusing to a mass consumer audience. If it is to live up to its trillion-dollar potential, industry leaders like Apple, Microsoft, and Google, and Intel and others need to make nice so their devices, products, and even services talk to each other and deliver to the consumer a much cleaner and easier way to understand the Internet of Things. Now, if you read this, that definition, the actual definition they give has no context.
Yeah. It doesn't say much. Go on.
No. And that's all they write about that.
Okay.
But what's a trillion-dollar... what did they write here? A trillion-dollar idea or trillion-dollar potential. What business is a trillion-dollar... The Internet of Things has a trillion-dollar potential. What does that mean? What does it mean to plan to harmonize the Internet of Things?
And
these are all terms that are used in these mobile device and, you know, health IT documents that the government has been putting out for years now.
You know, yeah. Yeah, and no, I'm just going to leave it at that because I do believe, well, when you, the research you've done, Joe, on the RFID and the Mark of the Beast, I believe healthcare was the on-ramp or off-ramp, depending on what you prefer.
And this deals with a cashless society. Think you said, it would eliminate drug dealers. Well,
that's like the argument.
Said, possibly from the new digital swap of electronic currency, but it wouldn't eliminate them from other things like stolen property. But with the ability to monitor every single transaction you make, with that ability will also come the ability to stop those transactions.
Right.
To the behavior modification comes in. You know, we want you not to buy these things. And it was explained by... the author of Spy Chips, what's her name? Startmail.com. She explained it as, you know, imagine you had there was somebody who didn't take this mark and you bought him, you know, clothes or his friends bought him stuff and everything that was sold has this technology in it.
Right.
And everybody who bought it, so once this person's caught, they can see where those clothes came from, you know, who bought them and who's... It's all part of the end times biblical prophecy, and as it says in Revelation 12 and 13, and it talks about the mark of the beast. No man might buy or sell, whether he's free or slave, rich or poor, unless he has the mark in his right hand or his forehead. And that's very clear that the mark has to do with being part of a society that will control your buying or selling. I mean, you have to have this thing in order to be part of the society. And we see this cashless wave that's been hitting us as people are moving voluntarily, getting chips put in them,
right?
Having, you know, biometric identification used as their way of buying and selling, and this has been pushed on us as a matter of convenience. But you will lose all control.
We see that already, and yes, we anything that takes away. Okay, you go back. We'll just go back to 71 when Nixon took us off the gold standard completely, all right? And of course, money became nothing, at that point, nothing more than the petrodollar that it is today, but officially, in the official. And that was a Kissinger move. So now, cash in and of itself, with the right crisis, and it could it be a biological contamination of money or whatever currency, Of course, it will be.
Or a banking cyber attack.
But, well, even at that,
numbers.
But see, first things first, because if you've got a whole bunch of cash money out in circulation, something is going to require that money to be taken out of circulation.
Or make it worthless.
Well, and or make it worthless, mm-hmm. right. But, for example, if, you know, whether you're dealing in euros or in U.S. dollars or whatever it might be, something is going to require that money to be pulled in and done away with, because maybe it is the threat of some biological contaminant on the money. We don't know with mm-hmm. precision what it is, but we know that we're going to have to switch to a cashless society. Perhaps it's going to be begged for by the millennials because it's more convenient. You know, who uses cash anymore? It's more convenient. But see, at that point, once we're into that cashless society, what's going to happen is that's going to be short-lived, because you might have someone with I mean, think of it this way. If you didn't have any cash at all in your house, in your pocket, in the thing, you know, the change thing in your car, and you were forced to like swipe a card every time you, even the travels, like when we used to go through New York City and the bridges. Not only is control a factor, but think about this. What would happen if suddenly there was this big cyber attack, like you mentioned, and your bank account was empty? But first we have to get to that all or no cash point, right? So what's going to cause that no cash? What's going to transition us from no cash to cyber, or from cash to cyber?
If we had to answer that question, we would have the answer to what to watch out for coming year. Well, listen to these numbers. Bills and coins now represent just 2% of Sweden's economy, yep. compared with 7.7% in the United States and 10% in the euro.
Mm.
This year, only about 20% of all consumer payments in Sweden have been made in cash, compared with an average of 75% in the rest of the world. Cards are still king in Sweden.
Right.
And it goes on to give numbers there.
But that's going to change.
And like you said, there's an advocate like Mr. Ulis cited personal safety as a reason countries should go cash free. He switched to using credit cards only and electronic payments after his son's Stockholm apartment was burglarized twice several years ago. There was such a feeling of insecurity, he said, who carries no cash at all. It made me think, what would happen if this was a cashless society and the robbers couldn't sell what they stole?
All right.
What if the robbers are the ones behind the digital cash society? And they can off your chip, or they could determine what you have and what you're, and you don't follow their rules, they can determine how much you have then, or how much you don't have anymore. How much do you owe in taxes? Well, can you protest tax rates after you take this, digital money and they jack up the tax rates to 50%? How are you going to argue with that? They can just ban you and you'll have nothing. I mean,
well, and that's the ultimate, and folks, really, we're talking about the ultimate objective here, and that is to really make everything digital, because you cannot control what you cannot see. So you can't take $500 and go buy that Smith & Wesson M&P, 45, right, or whatever it costs. Hey, come here, baby. That's our studio dog brought into the studio. God love her. Anyway, so you can't, she's in the office. She's behind the door in the office. I think she can't get out. Anyway, so you can't control, or you can't control what you can't see. So the bottom line here is all of this is going to have to be, pushed through a central agency, which reminds me again, folks, I don't know whether you saw this. Joe, did you see this? It was on, I think it was on Zero Hedge. It could have been Silver Doctors, about the missing gold. Did you see that?
No, missing from where?
I don't know. Missing from everywhere. No, this is a two-part story, and we can get into it next hour. We don't have to get into it now. I just want to alert people because, in fact, we don't even have to get into it at all. There's an article that Zero Hedge talks about, or there's an article that they publish. It's a two-part article. Let me just make sure I've got this correctly. Talk about some computer problems. My goodness. I'm having them here. Let me see. Okay. Just talk amongst yourselves, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, back to the
go ahead. Go ahead.
Cashless society.
This is kind of relative to that, but go ahead.
Going to the other side of this article, there's a, I'm reading here, a former, doing away with cash might be trendy, says Mr. Ericsson, a former director of the Swedish police force and president of Interpol. But there are all sorts of risks when a society starts to go cashless.
Uh-huh. You think?
It says at the University of Gothenburg, students say that they have almost exclusively used cards and electronic payments. No one uses cash, says Hannah. I think our generation can live without it. The downside, she conceded, was that it was easily spent without thinking. I do spend more. a homeless man, Stefan Wickberg, 65, was homeless for 4 years after losing his job as an IT technician. He has a place to live now and sells magazines for a charitable organization. After he began using his mobile card reader to take payments after noticing almost nobody carried cash. Now people can't get away, he says, who carries a sign saying he accepts Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. When they say, I don't have change, I tell them they can pay with a card or even by a text message. His sales have grown by 30% since he adopted the card reader more than 2 years ago. A church in Stockholm, at Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
It's a different spelling. So few of the of the 1,000 parishioners now carry cash that the church has had to adapt, says the executive pastor. And think of this. I mean, if churches are going to adapt to this model without thinking about the implications and conforming to the world systems without thinking of what might be behind them, which we know they already will do as they already have done, how dangerous this could be. If this was the actual mark of the beast, say a chip or an electronic form of payment, and the churches got behind it.
Interesting.
I mean, that's dangerous to think about.
But and the churches will get behind it, especially the 501c3 churches, because of the need to be compliant with the IRS, and the IRS is pushing for this cashless society. By the way, the article I referenced is titled Dubai's Vaporized Gold, The Plot Thickens, or Dubai's Vaporized Gold, and then part two is Dubai's Vaporized Gold, The Plot Thickens, this on silverdoctors.com. That's silverdoctors.com. I would urge everyone to read it. It does have important information about what's taking place with respect to the precious metals. Do not dismiss this story. Dubai's vaporized gold, and just understand that this is where this kind of relates to the cashless society as well. And you talk about theft and fraud. You can see how this plays out. And of course, they also have the dark side of a cashless society there at Silver Doctors as well, which I would recommend everyone to read. But you know, Joe, you were talking, and I know we're kind of getting close to the top of the hour.
We got about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Beginning of the end, too. This cashless society enters into this. Let's see here. Well, I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not going to get into this, only because this has some information I haven't vetted personally. So, all right.
To end the Cashless Society article, yeah. They say Sweden has always been at the forefront of technology, so it's easy to embrace this. But Big Brother can watch exactly what you're doing if you purchase things only electronically. This is the guy. Yeah. He says it's such concerns are overblown. Everything speaks in favor of a cashless society. He said, it's a utopian thought, but we're very close to it. He paused at a hot dog stand for a snack, but when he was ready to pay, the card reader was broken. Sorry, the vendor said, you'll have to use cash. And that's the end of the article.
Yeah, I
kind of like
I did read that.
Yeah, that's
But you know, right now here, think of it this way: we already have a surveillance state. In fact, John Whitehead, the author of Battlefield America and another one, Government of Wolves, I mean, he talks about the surveillance state, the extent of the surveillance state. But think about this: the convenience of online banking. We're all guilty. Well, we're all part of this. If you have a checking account, chances are you deal in online banking. Maybe not to make transactions, but to view your balances. And that can even extend to ATMs. But think about this. You are able to see the checks that you write by accessing your account. So you can actually see the check itself. Okay. So if you wrote it out to Jane Smith, well, for $50, the government knows you wrote it out to Jane Smith, and you know you did. But again, more importantly, the government knows. So there's already surveillance built into the system, the current system we have. And remember when I was talking about the data collection center and talking about the various sizes of the data, what do you call those, hard drives? And I was talking about the different, terabytes and what's beyond that and beyond that and beyond that. And it's just amazing right now what's being collected, which leads me to an email that this nice emailer asked me to, if I would mind answering during the show. Okay. And folks, you can send emails to us. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com and fill out the contact us form, and you can certainly send a question to us if it's relevant to, or if it's not relevant, go ahead and send a question. What's Summer C? I'm not gonna. Okay, I just happened to look at the email address. Summer writes this: you mentioned Facebook subject. My question is, when I canceled my account a while back, was it really canceled and deleted, or do they keep all of it no matter what? And she writes, I'm worried now since I've had all the photos of my kids before I realized the danger.
So I had a friend who said they couldn't delete their account the other last week. I talked to him.
Yeah,
said he was unable. He was unable to delete it.
Okay,
for whatever reason.
Well, yes, and I've heard where people have had that trouble. But let me direct my answer directly to Summer and tell you that everything that you put on the internet, if you store it, it doesn't matter. You put it on Facebook. If you put it in the cloud, it's copied, it's saved. And people say, oh, that's BS, there's no room for that. Well, we covered that long ago. The digitization of information, of images, videos, the facial recognition,
Albrecht.
All kept.
Is
it Catherine Albrecht.
Catherine,
yes,
Albrecht.
From Star Mail.
Yeah, she's went through the numbers and said to number every item sold, it would take 29 numbers of zeros and ones. To number every person would take 31 numbers.
Right.
And she compared that to what it would... And I know I'm kind of speaking out of context here, but...
No, that's fine.
They were explaining how easy it would be to actually physically mark and number everything and how it's sold via computer cloud technology. And it's not as difficult as you think it would be. And there is the ability to do what you just said, to copy and save.
You know, and a lot of people think, well... they believe the government lie, and I'll say it's a lie, that oh, they're not storing anything except metadata, and that's only, or only in certain cases are they storing information. When you create a social networking account, everything that you type, and I don't care, you could delete it, you could take your computer and put a bullet hole through the hard drive, you can, rinse the computer's monitor out with Clorox or a bar of soap, it doesn't matter. The information is out there for everyone to see. Now there's that the Wayback Machine, and of course the cache, but aside from that, everything that is typed, and I mean everything, every email is maintained. It's simple as that. I would not be too concerned, okay, personally. Now, that sounds like a weird thing to say. I mean, she says she's really worried because I had all the photos of my children before I realized the danger. Well, what's worry going to do you right now? Okay, don't worry. But what you do is be proactive. Understand the risk involved and the fact that it's out there, it's being maintained. But it's not until they're going to be ready to do something before they do it. I mean, before something, you know, happens. I believe there is a hierarchy of threats. So if you're not like on the top, well, like the red, green, blue, orange, whatever lists that, you know, if you're not in the top segment, I don't think you should have that much. I don't think you've got that much to worry about. Okay. I really don't. But I do believe that from this point forward, everyone should be extremely wary of what they put on. And even in private messaging. This is why, and folks, if you were hurt or saying, oh, I don't like those guys because they never answer private messages on Facebook, we don't see them because we don't do private messaging. We don't do private chats. We don't do that. My goodness, it's hard enough for me to carry on a conversation with my wife or with Eric the Tech or Joe, for crying out loud. But if you do, just understand everything is a postcard or the equivalent thereof, right? I mean, I'd consider it that way.
Yeah.
And by the way, every email, see, this is something that, again, start out with a program with this. Isn't it interesting how people will say things on Facebook or say things in email that they never would say to your face or on a website?
Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book that I have at home, Totalitarianism. I forget the whole name, but it's from 1970s, and he writes in there about how this was right on the heels of the technological revolution we saw with computers, but he talks about that, and he talks about from the original mail, the U.S. Postal Service, how every piece of mail is monitored and what is said is monitored, to and how nothing's private anymore, and how there's only going to get worse in the technological age. And there's a whole page on it, and I'll bring the book tomorrow to read out of it, but
okay.
It's definitely a concern. I mean, you can't undo what you've done, but you can take steps to change in the future what you continue to do, especially if it's not something that will help you in the long run.
So bring it tomorrow. The book.
Yeah,
Karen A., thank you so much for your reply or for your email. She writes, I've tried to delete my Facebook account, but can't. You can close it, not delete it. I discovered that the information I changed is not overwritten, just only replaced. The older stuff is still there. And we find this. So we really need to be, understanding of this. And, Bob and Maggie, I'm going to be getting into more of that, at another time. Thank you for that email.
We're going to be
everyone is sending an email in. Thank you so much.
We're going to be going to the break, but when we come back, we're going to get into more news.
And PD, this email. No, I was not speaking about that. No, and I think that's important. I'm speaking only to PD. No, you sent me an email. No, I was not speaking about what you were asking about. Go ahead, sir.
We're going to be getting into more news and taking calls on the other side. If you want to call to our and talk with us on air, 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944.
Say it one more time.
844-769-2944. That's the number to call us live on air.
If you want to talk.
Yes.
Not to listen, but talk.
Absolutely. And we'll be taking calls right after this break on Global Star Radio Network. And we're live on YouTube as well as Blog Talk Radio as well.
That's right. See my doggy tie? See my doggy tie?
That is
little
nice.
Pictures of dogs on there.
What kind of dog?
It's a brown one.
Brown one?
Brown and white.
All right, folks. We'll be right back after the short messages on this Monday, December 28th, 2015. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.